Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello and welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with Amy Babinchek and James Kernan. Morning, James. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing great. How are you, Amy?
Good. So here in the Midwest, where James and I live, it's suddenly fall. I mean, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy weather year. I think about, if you go back in our podcast, we always like to mention the weather because that's how people in our parts of the world start all conversations pretty much. And this spring, we were complaining about the cold. Like, summer was never going to get here. It was so cold. And then summer instantly appeared and became blazingly hot and stayed that way all summer. And now here it is, getting toward the end of August, and we have like instant fall. We went from like 90 degrees to 55 degrees. It is a crazy year.
Yeah. And it let me stress, suddenly it did drastically change, like overnight, from super hot to super cold.
I know. I have long pants on for the first time in months.
We went on, my wife and I went on the boat last night, and she officially brought her sweater. So what a change. But anyway, it's a welcome change. I think fall is starting a little early here.
Yeah.
They can stay.
Yeah. Yep. This is going to make everything in my garden decide to ripen all at once. Yes. That's what happens when the plants detect the cool weather. All right. Hey, let's talk about our MSP question of the week. I like it because it dovetails straight into me. it's not a plant. How do I start an AI practice and offer services to my customers? As you know, James, in the spring, I ran a course over at Third Tier that I taught myself, and I designed it myself. And it's for MSPs to start an AI practice and start offering services to their customers. Like, literally, that's exactly what it does.
Well, there you go. I think that could be the key answer.
And I'm going to offer it again in October. So make sure you get on the mailing list over at thirdtier.net. If you haven't been there before, it'll pop up and remind you to do that. What I like to focus on, First, we talk about the absolute need for an AI acceptable use policy in businesses today. Mm-hmm. And when the internet first came around, we had internet acceptable use policies. And when email became business critical, we had email acceptable use policies. Those things have kind of faded away as it became more common knowledge.
Yeah.
But here we are in the AI world. It's not common knowledge yet. So one of the first things we talk about is the acceptable use policy and how that is a great way to get you to start to be seen as an expert in AI.
Yeah.
And a good reason for you to start to talk to your clients about it next time you have those in-person meetings with them when you're doing those quarterlies or monthly reviews.
Yeah, good point.
And then in the course, we start to go through different aspects of AI and cover a whole bunch of different areas that you might decide to focus on. But because we're MSPs, the central focus and the thing that's easiest for everyone to get started with is manage, monitor, and secure, because that's what we do with the whole rest of the network, right?
Hmm.
So, there's a lot more you can do with AI, but there's some pretty easy ways to start. So, those are the ways that I recommend that people get started in providing an AI, get an AI into your practice and start providing services to your customers. And if you want to learn about specifically how to do that and how to get involved in some other things, take my course in October.
There you go. There you go.
Thanks for the plug, whoever that was.
Yeah, great. Oh, great question. Yeah. Yeah, it's I sat in on some of Amy's course this spring, and it was great content. And I tell you, as an MSP, if you're looking, you know, we're still in the beginning stages of that bell curve of the AI technology. And I think the dust is starting to settle a little bit, and it's getting clearer and clearer. But I would encourage you to take the course, learn how you can leverage AI as a differentiator in your business to make you stand out from the competition for sure. I love that. And then there's all sorts of ways that you can leverage and monetize AI, you know, for your customers. You know, you need to be the one. I mean, those are great lead magnets, first of all, to attract net new customers and yep. retain the current customers you have by talking about AI, because they're all looking for information right now. And if you're not giving it to them, they're going to get it from your competitors. So,
yep, absolutely true. Yeah, you need to be seen as a leader in this area. This isn't something that's going to go away. This is a thing that they're looking for that leadership on, and you want to make sure that you're in the position to provide that leadership to them.
Exactly, exactly.
So a lot of interesting stuff in the news this week, I thought.
Yeah.
If we think about a little bit more about AI, CRN had an article about how AI is changing the workforce from top MSP executives.
Yeah.
You know, what'd you think about that?
I read that. That was interesting. I made a point of going through the article, and I was looking at what each one of the 10 executives were saying. And it's always funny. I mean, you and I both have probably been interviewed by reporters from CRN, and you always want to say something unique that makes your business stand out. I saw a little bit of that, but yeah. The common thread I did see, Amy, was almost everybody was talking about, one, training your existing staff on the AI tools. They're investing in that heavily so they know what they're doing, giving them, not just giving them access to the tools, but training them on how to use that and leverage it to increase efficiencies. All right. So that makes sense. But a lot of them were also looking for AI talent. So if you're updating your resume or updating your LinkedIn profile and you want to stand out because you're looking at maybe making a position change, or if you're recruiting yourself, I mean, look for AI talent. I think that's an important thing to look at. But almost, I think 8 out of 10 had that listed as that's one of their top priorities of what they're doing.
There's not a lot of AI talent out there yet. So definitely this is an opportunity for you to level up in your career, because employers know that you're a rare commodity, and train yourself up on it. There's plenty of training opportunities out there right now.
Yeah.
You know, James, the other interesting article I saw sort of related to this, and I don't have a link for it. I can't remember where I saw it. I read it earlier last week, and it said that when they interviewed, you know, like the Fortune 500 execs, yeah. They're all gung ho on AI, but they're not using it themselves. So my takeaway from that is, if you are a business owner, don't do that. Make mm-hmm. sure that you're the person that uses a lot of AI, that you are excited about AI, that you are demonstrating and showing the leadership for how you expect people to use AI in your company.
Yeah. It's leadership 101. If you're, yep. you know, employees always do what we do, not what we say. So you need to lead by example. And many, many of our listeners are highly technical anyway. Maybe they're telling themselves they don't have time, but invest in your own education on AI and the tools. And I think it's very important.
Yeah. So there's an AI concern out there in the market. We're going to be seeing the market numbers come out the quarterlies.
Right.
And there's a lot of nervousness, because there's a feeling like maybe some of these tech giants have overspent on AI. And we might be seeing that in their numbers this quarter, and that always makes the stock market nervous. little bit nervousness from NVIDIA. How many chips are they actually selling? Like, can they keep up that momentum?
Yeah, there'll be a bunch of announcements on the big, you know, Magnificent Seven, they call it, you know, NVIDIA being really the biggest. They announced their earnings on Wednesday, August 27th. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. And then, you know, with other news, you know, Meta had their big hiring freeze. And then, you know, Amy, you and I have talked a little bit about OpenAI's, you know, GPT-5 that hit the market. And it was underwhelming, you know, by a lot of people. There was a lot of backlash for them, but I think they quickly pivoted. So we'll kind of see what happens. Hopefully we're not on the AI bubble, but a lot of people are predicting that.
And I think there was a bit of a gold rush. In our last week, we talked about the crazy numbers that people are paying for those top AI designers. And I think the folks that are actually making the LLMs, that's what we're talking about here. You know, we're not talking about business use of AI or AI apps specifically. We're talking about these companies that create these things in the first place, the LLMs themselves. That's what Meta's hiring freeze is about. The others are maybe less transparent, but they're probably doing something quite similar. They had such a gold rush going on. I think they haven't really quite figured out how to stabilize that part of their business and turn it into money generating, because they've spent billions and billions of dollars on it.
Yeah.
Now they got to figure out how to make money.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Yeah, we'll see how that pans out. That'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. So there's some Apple news and some Microsoft news this week. Foldable phones was what hit the headline from Apple, but to me, that wasn't really the news. You've got challengers on the foldable phone of where does the camera go? And does it have the proper angle anymore? And as a person who uses their phone as a camera, I have external lenses for my phone and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That's a concern for me. And also, apparently there's going to be an authentication change. So the foldable phones won't do face recognition. They're going to do Touch ID instead.
Hmm.
And I was like, why is that? And it's this rush to make phones super thin. The Face ID apparently requires some extra computing power, which is underneath that little front-facing camera. That's what makes the phone the thickness that it is.
Yeah.
I don't know why phones need to be thinner and thinner. As soon as they get a phone, everybody sticks in a case, which makes it fatter anyway and grippier.
Right.
They're so thin and slippery, you can't hold on to them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You need a little meat on the bones to hang on to. I agree with that completely. And if they're too thin, then to me, I'm concerned about their durability. You know, everybody drops them and...
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just concerned about, you know, them getting damaged, but.
Yeah. The other speculation is that on the non-foldable models, you may be able to charge your Apple devices on the back of the Apple phone. So like I could set my watch down on the phone and charge it. Because the watch doesn't have a real great longevity. So I could definitely probably see me doing that. Same thing with your AirPods, that you could charge them up if you needed to.
Interesting.
So it is an interesting feature. That's a rumor whether that's going to make it into the final product or not, but apparently it's being tested. That was a leak out of the China manufacturing system.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of interesting stuff. It's coming out. These things are coming out soon, later this fall, so we'll know for sure quite soon.
And I saw that news about Microsoft. It's someone's anniversary.
Windows 95.
Yeah.
The product that changed the world, really.
Yeah.
Not in the least, because that's how I got my first job in IT. You know, I didn't start off my career in IT. I just ended up being the computer person everywhere I worked. And then one day I decided to make a career change, and I got my first job because the IT department, it's about 15 people in there. It was a good sized company. Did not want to install Windows 95 because they hated graphical interface and mouse. And, you know, here I am brand new, and I got, you know, basically handed the migration to Windows 95 from my new boss. And it caused me to become the most popular person in the IT department because it was in the company, you know, I was giving everybody new technology and new stuff because users loved Windows 95. They sold 40 million copies in a box from a store in a week.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
It set all sorts of records. And I was trying to think, what was right before, was it Windows ME? What was right before 95?
Oh, no, ME was a while ago. It was 3.1.
Okay.
3.1.1, 3.1.2. It was, yeah, it was that, that was the pre.
Remember, it just made it made such a huge jump. And, you know, they raised the bar. And then what was after 95? Windows 98?
98, yeah. And then ME, yeah, Millennium Edition. That was probably their biggest flop ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing that Windows 95 brought that really made a difference was plug and play. Mm-hmm. It was far from perfect and caused a lot of blue screens. But plug and play has changed our world, the way that, you know, you can just put something in. We don't have to go through all the hoops we had to go through of make memory space and set dip switches and, you know, all this stuff and load drivers manually. And I mean, we don't do any of that work anymore. It's just, it happens now, you know?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So Windows 95, a hallmark moment for sure in the evolution of computing.
And I saw it. Ninja One was out in the news as well.
This is some great news, I think. Ninja One and Halo are getting together as partners.
Yeah, I love that.
I do too. They're two great products. They are worthy competitors for Kaseya and ConnectWise for sure. I mean, this is the alternative, right? You can either buy into one of the systems, or you can buy, you know, the Ninja Halo pathway and some of the other independents, and they're all sort of plugging together, but a little bit still independently. You know, it's not giving you as much of that am I in a franchise feeling. If you decide to go with them, and their sales numbers reflect how much people love them. They've got growth numbers that are incredible.
Yeah, both companies I think top the charts in growth in their categories, the PSA and the RMM. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love both of those companies. They're great to work with, flexible. You know, they're just in good people too. So. Good yeah. for them.
Yeah, I spent a whole day with Halo last year, and really, really good people. I mean, yeah. Passionate about what they're doing, trying to be exactly what the MSPs want and not just a clone of something that already exists. Really good listeners, great product on a really good path.
Yeah.
So you got an event coming up in September.
Yeah. That looks like that's my next travel, down in Tampa, or technically St. Petersburg, but I'm going to fly into Tampa, maybe 15 minutes away, right in St. Petersburg. But yeah, I'm excited. It's, the Millionaire Mastermind event, 2 days. I've got some amazing speakers. I think the only one of all the well-respected speakers in the industry that aren't going to be there is you, Amy. So if I can somehow twist your arm, but yeah, we've got a heck of a lineup. We're going to talk a lot about AI, a lot about marketing and lead gen. Got Wes Spencer coming from Empath. Got Terry Heading from Marketopia. We've got just some amazing speakers. So I'm excited. We've got Mike Semmel as well talking about CMMC. So good lineup across the board. So I'll drop the link in the show notes, or just email me at james@kernanconsulting.com. But it'll be a small event, probably between 40, 50 physical people there. And that's perfect size, but we've got some fun things lined up, and the weather should be gorgeous down there too. So.
Yeah. It's a great time to go to Florida.
Yeah.
We started this show by talking about the weather in our area. Now we can talk about the weather in Florida. Hopefully their heat will break for you, because end of September is a really good time to go to Florida. Yeah. It's still warm. Of course, it's sunny, but it's functional. You can actually go outside and enjoy it.
Enjoy it, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be in St. Pete's. Make sure you go to the Dolly Museum. That is such a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got some fun things lined up. There'll be several people I know already are coming in early and staying late through the weekend. So I love seeing that. A lot of people are bringing their spouses because we've got some fun things lined up. But the hotel block, we're going to be right in St. Petersburg Beach.
Nice.
So yeah, we got some good stuff lined up.
Cool. All right. Well, dear listeners, let us know what you want to talk about. Send us your question of the week. You can send those over to James. What's your email, James?
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from you. Send any questions or topics that you want us to talk about to james@kernanconsulting.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. Well, that's a wrap. We will talk to you all next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.